Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia. I'm your hostess Neem, and you're on Adhikrayat, the show that's reminders for the believers. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yasirli am wahlul uqdata min lisani yafkahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah, inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'atina a'malina. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan, it's a pleasure to be back on air with you. I'm your hostess Neem. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. Subhanallah. So I believe in it. Choice is empowering, complacency is boring, and happy looks really, really good. So inshallah, this is a show just to remind us of things that we take for granted, things that we know already, but we just need to be reminded, and inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. So, Muslims all over the world have embarked on a journey of a lifetime. Subhanallah, it's that time of the year again. Hajj is a very special time for us. You know, the amount of reward available is immense, and it is truly an opportunity to seek forgiveness and become closer to Allah. The theme for today's show is give sacrifice before sacrifice is taken from you. But what practical ways are there of doing this? We take a look at some of the ways in which we can sacrifice and, you know, think of the reward of sacrifice. And we look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was truly a test for him to see who was dearer to him. So what sacrifices are we making to become closer to Allah? Inshallah, in today's show, we are joined with a very special colleague of mine from Radio Islam, Aba Zakira Ansar Mia, who will be sharing some light on the Islamic perspective with regards to sacrifice and what the Quran says about sacrifice. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Aba Zakira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister Sismi?
Alhamdulillah. And how is Appa doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
It's an absolute pleasure to have Appa on our show today. And alhamdulillah, you know, taking time off your busy schedule. So I really, really appreciate your time. Subhanallah. Jazakallah so much.
Barakallahu feek. It's actually nice being with you on air. We normally have our chats off air. So alhamdulillah, for once we're doing it on air. So, my dear listeners, the reason Sister Tasneem actually decided to have me on today, I think, was because we were doing some program prep, and during the program prep, she said to me, I will just come and share all that on air, you know, whatever I shared with her.
That's
and
exactly how it happened, yes.
And alhamdulillah, you know, I'm not sure if the listeners perhaps get to appreciate this ever, but a lot of the time this actually happens, is that we as presenters sit together, brainstorm ideas, how to bring about the best to you, the listener, and alhamdulillah, this is why a lot of the time what you get to hear may be coming from one specific presenter, but actually comes from a whole host of ideas by many people put together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every individual who sits down and puts these brilliant ideas together to bring the lovely programming that we have on a daily basis.
Ameen, and a special jazakallah to you, Aba Zakira, for always assisting, especially the female team. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah, we're so grateful to have you on board.
No problem, Ameen wa Iyak. Alright, so starting off, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in, wa usalli wa usallim ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in amma ba'd. When you look at the word qurban or sacrifice, then perhaps some of us may not really understand the linguistics of the word, but we do very much understand that when we speak about qurbani, then we're speaking about Eid al-Adha, then we're speaking about udhiyah and sacrifice. And this is in its place. But let's look at the linguistics of the word. So where did this word qurbani come from? It came from the Persian word qurban, which literally means to sacrifice. And today in the class, I actually took it one step further, and I said to the students, and I said, let's dissect the word qurbani, and what root word do we get? We get qaruba, which actually means to come close. So subhanAllah, it's so amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this momentous task once in a year to fulfill, where in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually allowing us a means of closeness to Him other than the usual acts of Salah and recital of Quran and Azkar that we do. This is like one special act of sacrifice on one specific day that we're meant to do with the sole intention that, oh Allah, I am doing this so I can gain closeness to you. And I think that's so amazing, right?
Alhamdulillah, that's super amazing. I think just going back into the root letters and learning about the Arabic language on its own is totally fascinating, and it goes so much deeper than what we actually know. So jazakallah for sharing that with the listeners and myself.
Yes, indeed, it does. And I think sometimes when we take things at face value, just on the surface, we don't get to fully appreciate the aspects of our deen as well. Therefore, going deeper is always encouraged.
Most definitely so.
So looking at it from that angle, Sister Seem and I were speaking, and we said, alhamdulillah, I think many of us understand the qurbani aspect, like from the sacrifice and the Eid al-Adha. But we were asking each other, what does sacrifice actually mean? And I said, even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this, the sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in many ayat of the Quran, varied all over the Quran. And some of the times it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the sacrifice they made in battle, and the times where even they would ask, now where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it going to come? Because they were in such a thick of battle and they were in such a throng in the battle that they themselves, not losing hope in Allah, but had come to a point where they were feeling these sacrifices they were making physically, right? And if we read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, go through the hayat of Sahaba, you will see how the Sahaba barefoot, hungry, they would go out in battle. Various battles you would read about how they would get to a point, even the battle of Khandaq for that matter, it was the midst of winter, they were very hungry, they would come showing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had stones tied to their belly, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would lift his beloved garment and show them that he had two tied to his blessed stomach. So like this, when we read about these things, we understand that yes, the Sahaba made many sacrifices. But over and above this, what do we get to understand from this? We get to understand that there was something that even though individually they were making sacrifices, they always had a greater motive behind this. One was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second thing was that if they could sacrifice and give of what they had, be it of their wealth, be it of their time, and be it of their material possessions, they would happily do so. For what, may I ask? For the happiness, for the comfort, for the joy of their fellow Muslims. Subhanallah. Yeah. And this, I think, comes across very clearly when we speak about ikram a Muslim, when we speak about honoring the next Muslim. It's not merely, and again, just today in the class, we were speaking about it and we were trying to come to terms with what sacrifice really means. And I said, and I was telling, I was speaking to the students and saying to them that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident. The Sahabi, he had guests come over, and many of us read this in the Fadail-e Amal over and over each week, that he had guests come over and he didn't have enough food, and they put the kids, lulled the kids off to sleep, and when it came to the time of eating, the Sahabi radiallahu an made it seem as though the lamp was accidentally knocked over until his guests ate to their full in the darkness, and then they just mimed and they acted as though, he and his wife acted as though they were eating. And subhanAllah, this wasn't just something that when he went to the Prophet ﷺ the next morning, he received, the bashara and the good news from the Prophet ﷺ that what he did was so much accepted. This was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above his arsh really, really took so much of pride in seeing his servant doing that he actually revealed ayat of Quran about this, speaking about it and saying in the Quran, in some ayat, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum were willing to give of the things they had even when they were going to experience poverty themselves. So subhanAllah, from a level of giving from our material possessions, then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were definitely stalwarts in this and they were sterling examples for us.
MashaAllah, there are so many lessons and examples for us to take from those stories of the Sahaba and the Anbiya and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sira, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just discussing this topic of self-sacrifice, and I think we spoke a little bit about it over WhatsApp yesterday when we were discussing the show, about the role of we as women, that we play as mothers and daughters and wives and, you know, all these different roles that we play and how we sometimes have to self-sacrifice in order to reach our objectives of a higher level, inshallah.
Well, definitely, definitely. I think even this, subhanAllah, you know, if we look at the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, then we will find in their lives such lives of abstinence, and you know, if you really look into their stories, we will see how they were also willing to give great sacrifices for the spread of Deen and Islam. I mean, the fact that they lived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam itself was not a life of leisure. It was not a life of, you know, like Aisha radiallahu anha, many ahadith would be quoted as saying that 3 moons would pass. In other words, months would go by and we would have nothing other than aswadain, other than water and dates. So from this we can understand that the sacrifices that they even made. Now when we look into their lives, what do we also glean from their lives? We also glean from their lives the little things that came about. And before I touch on the sacrifices of women, Sister Tasneem, there's one other sacrifice I was speaking to the girls about. And I was speaking about, you know, when we put other people's feelings above ours, mm-hmm. when we put other people's, when we take into consideration how somebody else will react to what I've just said or what I'm about to say for that matter. Mm-hmm. Now, this we even learned from the hadith again. You know, like in the instance of Aisha radiallahu anha, she was not meaning anything derogative, but she was just basically referring to Safiya radiallahu anha saying, and the hadith says, "Ta'ani qasiraha." She was speaking about how short she was, right? So she probably used some word. The hadith doesn't specifically say what word she used, but she said something that depicted her shortness, mm-hmm. you know, and how short she was, and referring to her like this. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately explained to her how this was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And told her that, you know what, if this one word that you said were to be mixed into the oceans, lamazajat, then it would have turned the oceans salty, you know, it would have turned the oceans bitter. To explain to her that this was not the right way to have explained or to have spoken about Safiya radiallahu anha, mm-hmm. right? But when we step out of this scenario, and in general we even look at lessons that we learn from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not just the Sahabiyat, we will see many examples where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in his final khutbah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a point of saying that on this day, like how this place is haram upon, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining that the blood of your brother is in the same way it is haram upon you. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explaining this to Sahaba on this farewell khutbah, what he was basically explaining to them that I'm going to be gone now. You're going to be left to deal with one another. Ensure that you deal with one another in such a way that even if you have to sacrifice your own ego and your own pride, ensure that you do it, but you do it and you save the reputation of your fellow Muslim brother. Don't do it you know, don't do it at the expense of your fellow Muslim brother, so to speak. So from this even we learn that self-sacrifice was not only taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of our material possessions, it was also taught to us in terms of, and I think it's a very famous hadith that we hear all the time, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that even if a brick of the Kaaba had to be broken, or, you know, the Kaaba had to be dismantled, something to the effect, then it would be better than the ego, rather the reputation of your fellow Muslim be tarnished. So from this we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always encouraged us to put the feelings of others even before ours. Mm-hmm. And as female sister Tasneem, I think this is definitely something that we ought to look at, no?
Definitely so. I think, like you're saying, just that feeling of empathy. You know, it's something that we think we have, but sometimes we take for granted, and we need to practice this more, especially from when we're looking into the lives of the Sahabiyat and how they practice the true understanding of what empathy actually is.
True. And I think, Sister Tasneem, coming back to that point there of, you know, whether it be our roles that we are in, that we have to give self-sacrifice in, then yes, being the role of a mother, there's always the sacrifices that you need to do. And, you know, they say you never truly live with your heart within your chest once you become a parent, because actually your children carry your heart wherever they go. And I think no example can be more true than that of a mother, because a mother, no matter how old you get, she's always going to be your mommy. She's always going to be watching over you, no matter. I mean, even if you have your own kids one day, you'll see that even when you've reached that stage and you phone her, her primary concern will still be about you first, and then about your family, and then about your husband, and then about everybody else. But she will always be questioning, how are you keeping, how are you doing, you know, are you managing with whatever responsibilities you have? These type of questions will always be those that will come about. So the self-sacrifice also then, not only as a mother, but even when we take on other roles, when we take on roles as being sisters, and, you know, generally in the home, and I think perhaps I stand to be corrected here, but I think the females in the home are given a little bit more responsibility than the males, rightly or wrongly so, but because from a young and tender age the females are given more responsibility, automatically I think what then tends to happen is they sacrifice more and they give more. They're always willing to happily sacrifice so that a fellow sibling is taken care of in a better manner, you know. So if perhaps the sister needed to sacrifice her time doing some hobby or something of hers because her brother needed to be, you know, given some tuition or something like that in a lesson that she has some knowledge about, she would happily sacrifice that, knowing that it would be to his benefit if she assisted him or she helped him in some way. And subhanAllah, this only goes further in our life. When you become a daughter-in-law then in somebody else's home, and you are seen as someone that's being given over now, even when our parents hand us over to our in-laws, you know, and you do get married in that family, what they generally tell us is, and the advice that they give us is, take your in-laws as your own parents. Take them as you would have taken us, and give to them and do for them the way you would have done in our home. So again, the element of self-sacrifice comes in there. As a daughter-in-law, you may not have the same habits of your in-laws, and when you get into this household, automatically, because you've been trained and you've been given that mindset, you know, you start developing new habits happily without, you know, not under duress or anything like that, but happily we start doing this because we really want to fit in and we really want to become part of this new family. And again, the element of self-sacrifice comes in there as well. So subhanAllah, Sister Tasneem, what you said actually does make a lot of sense in that, when we look at Islam and when we look at the role of a woman, then there are many, many times where this word self-sacrifice definitely does feature.
And I love what Afa said in the beginning, because if you link all of the self-sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes ibadah. So you're not waiting for validation, you're not waiting for a thank you, because everything that you're ever doing is only for the pleasure of Allah. And I think this is the tricky part. So I think just as a reminder to myself and the listeners out there, always make that intention, fi sabilillah, innama al-a'malu binniyat, inshallah. May Allah accept. It is an absolute pleasure having you with us on our show. And I know Afaya needs to rush and get to madrasa, but jazakallah so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
It was a pleasure, jazakallah khair. And if I could just leave the listeners with one last message,
yes,
inshallah, then, you know, throughout our life, no matter what our role, no matter what we're going to be expected to do or need to do, we need to keep one thing in mind, that at the end of the day, I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Sister Tasneem said actually does resonate in any role that you may play in your life. I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I am doing, I'm only doing for His pleasure. So even if I do this act and really not everyone around me is going to be so happy with how I did it or the way I did it, or they're going to question why I did it, I need to remember that I did it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any reward that I'm expecting can and will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, a difficult aspect to actually engender within our lives, but something that we should keep on trying.
Inshallah, and this is what our show is all about, Abdikrayat, for reminders for the believers and reminders for us firstly, inshallah. Jazakallah for that beautiful reminder, Sister Zakira. Jazakallah for joining us and for taking this time to be with us today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Afa Zakira Ansar Mia, no stranger to Radio Islam. In fact, Afa Zakira hosts and produces her own show and helps all the female staff at Radio Islam. She's, you know, like she said at the beginning of the show, behind the scenes of all our shows. Subhanallah, may Allah Ta'ala reward her and grant her a long life of barakah to help as many people as she can, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today we're talking all about sacrifice. It's a very special time of the year for all of us. You know, it's Hajj season, and for a Muslim, it's a very special time. You know, the amount of reward available is immense in these days to fast, to wake up for Qiyamul Layl. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these special opportunities to gain proximity to Him. So Ramadan has come and gone, you know, the big nights have come and gone, but here's another time, here's another opportunity for us to grab these moments in order for us to gain nearness and proximity to our Rabb. So today's show, we're discussing self-sacrifice in order to reach one's objective. We're talking about the spiritual meaning of sacrifice and the concept of sacrifice in Islam. When we think about Islam, we think about, you know, when we think about this time of the year, we think about Qurbani, we think of Eid al-Adha, and we normally link sacrifice to animal sacrifice, or you know, that blessed day of Eid when we all having fun and having all the yummy food, and you know, that's what we associate it to be. But you know, think about the ways in which we learn from the examples in the Quran, from the Anbiya, from the stories of the Sahaba. And alhamdulillah, before the break we had some very valuable knowledge being shared by Sister Zakira Ansar Mia. The lines are open, so do give us a call. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So just moving on, talking about sacrifice, you know, this really stood out for me. A wise person once told me that give sacrifice before sacrifice is taken from you. But what practical ways are there of doing this? I mean, the best way to find out is to look into the Quran. And what stands out is the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was, you know, this is one of the greatest lessons we can take from his life, is that of sacrifice. When we think sacrifice, immediately our minds go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam, it was truly a test for him to see who was dearer to him. So we need to think in our lives, what sacrifices are we making to become closer to Allah? So think about the reward of sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to sacrifice what was dearest to him, and that was his son. We must remember that this son came after many years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam in his old age with a beautiful son, Ismail. Can you imagine something more precious to you than your children? And in return, Allah rewarded him with more than he could have ever expected. In fact, to this day, we are still witnessing the reward of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah made Ibrahim alayhi salam's son a prophet. What greater honor could there be? Imagine the reward we can gain from sacrificing for Allah. So let us take our time to get closer to Allah. These are special days. You know, while we are healthy, while we have time, while we have health, think about how much time we give for leisure. What if we gave that time to Allah? You know, when we can't sleep, why don't we spend this time doing adhkar, gaining a reward of getting out of bed and doing qiyam? Use this time wisely. When we think about starting a new TV series, look into a tafsir, you know, look into starting a tafsir series on YouTube, or, you know, opening a book, or if you're into audiovisuals, you know, get a recording or something, or, you know, where you can learn something and get closer to your deen and get closer to Allah, or reading something beneficial. The time that we spend gaming, why don't we use that time for personal and professional development, like learning a new language or doing volunteer work for the community? There's so much work to be done out there. But we never have time. We're always running out of time. So sacrifice your time to rid yourself of bad habits. And we need to learn to pick up new ones, develop new skills, increase our knowledge, gain closeness to Allah, and most importantly, develop the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the time that you sacrifice doing this will have an immediate impact on your akhlaq and, inshallah, inevitably your connection with Allah. So sometimes it's hard to try, you know, trying to find money to give a sadaqah. You know, after rent, bills, food and all other expenses, we might feel reluctant to give that extra charity. So first of all, we need to remember that money given for voluntary charity is highly rewarded, sadaqah. Nothing you give is ever lost. The hand that gives only receives. Allah says in the Quran that He basically multiplies it for you. And the best way to incorporate regular, you know, charity giving in your life is to find something in your life that you spend money on. So when we speak about sacrifice, sometimes we need to sacrifice on a monetary basis. Something that is a hobby or a luxury you allow yourself, and then calculate how much you spend on it per month. How many times a month do you go out for lunch or dinner or buy food? How many times do you buy a coffee? How much money do you spend on clothes per month? And do we really need all of these luxuries? So, you know, just do the math, calculate all that spending and sacrifice just half of it for charity. That can be a challenge for me and for you. So if you buy lunch every day, spend extra time making lunch at home and save that money for charity. Skip the coffee for one day and save those coins for sadaqah. Instead of eating out this weekend, recreate the meal at home for a fraction of the price and save that extra money to give to a project or anything that you feel passionate about. So by sacrificing these little luxuries a few times a month or a few times a week, you are physically showing that charity is dearer to you. And charity only for the pleasure of Allah. And the best of charities is a charity that is given by the right hand that the left hand doesn't even know about. So you may feel that these small amounts are insignificant, but in the eyes of Allah, this is huge. And this is what Allah loves, because you are sacrificing your luxuries and your way of life to give somebody else a better existence. So if we all do it as an ummah, you know, we think it's small, but if every single person did it in your community, or even globally speaking as an ummah, if we started doing this, what is seemingly insignificant can have a really positive impact on the lives of many people in need, subhanAllah, with the right intentions, obviously, in the ma'amalu bin niyat. The lines are open, the number to call is 011-854-1548. So during the last few days of Dhul Hijjah, make the intention to implement all of these sacrifices in your life, just as Ibrahim alayhi salam did. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready to sacrifice his son for Allah's pleasure. Once this becomes a habit, watch how the barakah of Allah will enter your life and make you even more productive. So however, you know, such a magnificent journey inevitably brings moments of self-discovery, adventure and enlightenment. So when we think about Hajj, subhanAllah, you know, this journey, think about your own Hajj, or when you went for Umrah the last time. You know, I always thought South Africa is quite a multicultural place to live. Alhamdulillah, we are known as the rainbow nation. But the experience of arriving in Mecca and seeing so many different people is something else. African women in brightly colored prints, Arab women in their full black hijab, big groups of Turkish women in matching outfits. I even saw some Uzbekistan men in long coats and hats, which looked much better for the climates in Uzbekistan than it did in Saudi Arabia. But the essence lies far beyond this, and the spirit of it goes far beyond common human perception. This very act symbolizes our will to give up some of our own bounties in order to strengthen ties of friendship and help those that are in need. You know, it's a time to train us how to surrender ourselves to the will of Allah for the sake of serving humanity. And we recognize all these blessings come from Allah, and we should open our heart and definitely share with others. And by doing so, inshallah, Allah will only increase for us. So I came across a fascinating article by Dr. Afrooz, and he's a professor of psychology at Tehran University, and he goes on to say that all religious teachings are aimed at man's full growth and prosperity. He went on to say that, you know, adding that saying, the prayers is the best response to man's most important need, that is the need for self-actualization and moving towards perfection. So in psychology, the need for, you know, the need for self-esteem, we go back to a theory by Maslow, and right on top of the tier is self-actualization. This is a contented soul. Self-actualization can be, in Islamic terms, referred to as nafsul mutma'inna, the contented soul, when you know exactly who you are. So when you answer that question, who am I, you know exactly who you are. And in that, you are contented, you accept yourself wholly and fully, and you accept yourself, you know, unconditionally, and you love yourself unconditionally. And whenever I'm doing marital therapy, I always tell my clients, you know, before you can marry anyone else, you need to marry yourself. To love and to hold in sickness and in health, love yourself so much that your cup runneth over. And once that cup is full, inshallah, that part that flows on into the saucer, that is the part that you give away. So when we speak about self-sacrifice, we do this in order to fill ourselves, not to empty ourselves. We never ever sacrifice ourselves to a point where we are sacrificing the essence of our being. But in turn, we self-sacrifice to a point it becomes with the intention that this is purely for the pleasure of Allah. And your reward lies only in the hands of Allah. So whoever you're doing this favor for, whether it be a child, a spouse, a sibling, a parent, you're not waiting for validation, you're not waiting for a thank you, because you didn't do it for that person. Alhamdulillah, it made their life easier and you're happy for that, but you didn't do it to wait for an acknowledgement from them, and you did it only for the pleasure of Allah. So it's very, very important for us to reach this level of self-actualization and to know who we are as human beings, as believers, and like Abba Zakira said earlier, as the servants of our Rabb. Most importantly, we are the servants of Allah, and we need to understand what this name means, Muslim. When we speak about them, you know, who we are a Muslim. Essentially, male, female, young, old, children, we are Muslim, alhamdulillah, and having this blessed gift of Iman, what does it mean to be a Muslim? To submit to the will of your Creator. Submission already means sacrifice. Subhanallah. So it's so important for us as human beings, as Muslims, to understand who we are. And our very name, Muslim, meaning submission, which goes on to mean sacrifice. When we look at fasting is equally influential in purifying man's soul from the darkness of our vices and helping him distance from the, you know, from the monotony of habitual life during the holy month of Ramadan. So fasting can also be an important, you know, way of us to cleanse our soul. Dr. Afrooz also referred to the ceremony of Hajj as another great opportunity for man that can purge him of all character flaws, introducing him as a real pilgrim, which is a haji. Subhanallah. So this spiritual journey is a journey of a lifetime. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us fulfill this pillar of Islam in the way that was meant to be fulfilled, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the Adhikrayat show, and I'm your hostess, Neem. Today we're speaking all about sacrifice. Give us a call on 011-854-1548. So just before the break, we were speaking about the definition of Muslim and what it means to be a Muslim, and looking back into the word of the word Muslim and understanding that it means submission to the will of God. So when we think about the word Muslim, you know, perhaps most of us think of the spiritual sacrifice as giving something up. When we speak about sacrifice, it's like we need to give something up. But we have to look inside ourselves to see why are we sacrificing something in the first place. In fact, sacrifice is an act of submission to Allah. It is to submit to the will of the Almighty. Sometimes Allah asks us to sacrifice something important to us in order to learn that there is something greater beyond it. You know, sometimes we don't like a thing, but it's good for you. And sometimes you love a thing, but it's actually bad for you. And that is Allah's eternal wisdom that's beyond us. But what we say, you know, it's said that we fail to translate the essence of its sacrificial values in our life. And this is what we need to learn. We need to practice the spiritual effect of sacrifice so that we learn to rely on Allah's provisions rather than the things we have built for ourselves. And this is part of submitting to the will of Allah. Just looking at the very hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnu al-mu'min wa jannatu al-kafir," that this world is a prison for the believer. And it is a paradise, it's heaven for the disbeliever. So already, just looking at that hadith and the psychology behind that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this world is a prison. So we already need, what do you do in a prison? You're locked up, you have to eat certain foods, you have to wear a certain uniform. It's all about sacrifice, sacrificing all your luxuries. So sacrifices contributes to the success of our struggle, and this is the internal struggle, the jihad. It strengthens our inner spiritual and moral resources and develops qualities of characters, you know, which are essential to our struggle at every level of our existence. So all of this is only making us better and better at what we do. Subhanallah, every act of sacrifice nourishes and increases our iman. Your iman can only grow and grow and grow higher and higher, and you can get closer and closer to your Rabb by your sacrifice. But most importantly, behind the sacrifice is your niyyah, which is innama al-a'malu binniyat, which is fi sabilillah, purely for the pleasure of Allah. So when we look at faith, you know, when we look at the word iman, it transforms a verbal confession and a mental conviction into a living reality. Subhanallah. This very word iman, the very kalima that we believe, is a verbal confession. And we believe in our hearts, it's a mental conviction, but we need to turn this into a living reality, and this is where many of us struggle. This is where the tricky situation is, turning it into a living reality, living the kalima, breathing the kalima, eating the kalima, sleeping the kalima, living every moment of your life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end goal. And this is what we all aspire to be, but I think just trying, this is what Allah loves, just by trying, inshallah. And we have these special days that come now and again, and now it's the special time of the year, it's the time for Hajj. These are very special days upon us. The nights are extremely valuable in the eyes of Allah. The days are meant to be spent fasting. So inshallah, let us try and, you know, fill these days with ibadat, and, you know, inshallah, Allah will multiply it, and in these days of sacrifice, we can raise our statuses in the eyes of Allah and you know, get proximity to our Rabb, inshallah. So when we sacrifice, you know, it reinforces our loyalty and faithfulness to Allah, for all other loyalties become secondary as they are sacrificed for the sake of this loyalty. So sacrifices bring us nearer to our Rabb. You know, do we develop a sort of invisible communication with our Rabb? It makes us feel stronger and firmer in our deen. And this process is mutually interactive. The stronger the faith, the greater the will and capacity to sacrifice. The higher your iman, the easier for you it will be in order to sacrifice. But I always say, like I heard from a pious person that once told me, give sacrifice before sacrifice is taken from you. Because many a times we wait for calamity to strike. And then it's easy to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, by doing that, alhamdulillah, you are winning your battle. But why wait for that opportunity? When we can grab every moment to get closer to Allah, why wait, na'udhubillah, to be diagnosed with cancer or, you know, to lose something or someone before we actually say, Ya Allah, you're the only one that's there for me. Let us remember Allah in times of happiness, in times of prosperity, in times of sadness, and inshallah, the more we remember Allah, and this is what Adhikrayat is all about, it's just remembrance and reminders for the believers, because we need to remind ourselves to remember Allah. But when you love somebody so much, you don't need to be reminded. because automatically that person is on your heart, in your mind, constantly. So let us have this love and this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't need reminders to remember Him. And inshallah, He will be with us constantly in our mind, in our thoughts, in our hearts. And once you have Allah in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, then you have everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people, inshallah. So when we're talking about sacrifices, it's essential for the development of moral qualities, but especially for the development of tolerance, strength, determination, firmness, and purpose. And all these themes we see common in the lives of the Anbiya, especially in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these can be summed up in just one simple word, which is patience. But patience is not a passive word. It includes tolerance, it includes strength, it includes determination, firmness and purpose. It's an extremely proactive, productive word. Every sacrifice reinforces the quality of patience, making it grow into quality and strength. And this forbearance, in turn, sustains and increases the capacity to sacrifice. All promises of help from Allah, all assurances of success in this world and rewards in the hereafter, have been made conditional upon the attainment of sacrifice and patience. Sacrifice is the essence of life, and we should leave no stone unturned to sacrifice our money, our comfort and time for the sake of Allah. We should make an effort to live truly to the expectations of the spirit of sacrifice that the festival of Eid al-Adha stands for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. And you know, with this big day approaching, and you know, this theme of sacrifice during these beautiful days of Hajj, let us inculcate it into our life and let us make it a living reality. Like we said, let us turn this mental conviction into a living reality. Then it's not just, you know, lip service. We're not just saying we love Allah. We're really showing Allah that, Ya Allah, You are the most important being in my life. So, you know, each and every person has been created with a specific inclination or set of emotions within him. And we spoke a lot about empathy in the beginning of the show. But this spiritual blessing exists in all people. However, with a variance in its levels amongst people, you know, it changes from person to person. And amongst all the various levels that exist, women are the focal point of this inclination. And it is their hearts which are full of love and affection. Alhamdulillah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the female race, alhamdulillah, and the female nation. You know, one time, a Muslim woman of Medina was told that three of her loved ones were killed in a battle of Uhud. This woman mounted a camel and proceeded towards the area which, you know, where the battle of Uhud had taken place, so that she could go and bring the bodies of her deceased ones back for burial. On the return back to Medina, she was carrying the three bodies with her on the camel and was getting ready to enter the city of Medina. So halfway through to the city, she met up with one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the lady how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. This selfless woman, just imagine, right, with a clear face resembling one who had not even seen the smallest difficulty. Imagine she's carrying the three dead bodies of her loved ones. And she was holding onto the ropes of the camel in one hand and was covered with the blood of the martyrs that were on the camel being transported back. And she said to the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, I have good news for you. And that is that the Prophet is alive sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and safe. And because of this great blessing, all other trials and tribulations seem to be insignificant, trivial things. Subhanallah. So the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this lady, whose bodies are those? And the lady replied, the one body is that of my husband, the second one is that of my son, and the third is my brother's. I am taking them all back to Medina to have them buried there. Three bodies with her, the martyrs of the body, she was taking them back to Medina to be buried there. So what factors are responsible for this display of self-sacrifice and unselfishness in one's aim and purpose that flowed through this woman? Subhanallah, how is it possible that such a true faith and strong affection to the true visage of Tawheed could be present in the heart of a person such that her innate inclinations of motherhood could be kept under such control? Imagine the iman of the people around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, grant us an ability to understand what we're talking about and to, you know, love Allah and His Rasul the way the Sahabas loved Him, subhanAllah. And if this woman could feel, you know, not feel her loss just because the Prophet ﷺ was still breathing and alive, that was enough for her, subhanAllah. May we inculcate more of the Sunnah into our lives and make the Prophet a living example in our lives, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. And I will be back with you next week, Tuesday, the day before Eid al-Adha, inshallah. From me, Tasneem, and from everyone at the Dhikrayat, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.